flown, I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers. The creaking door. The manufacturers of State Express 3-5's Filter King cigarettes take pleasure in presenting The Creaking Door.
For some time, Dr. Marcus Summers has been gazing down at the twitching, trembling figure of Julian Clinton, gently wiping the beads of sweat from the brow of the young man slumped in the armchair. The doctor turns to the sturdy, thick-set man standing beside him and says,
"Well, the drug has taken effect. It'll be safe to question him now. Julian. Julian, you must try and control yourself. You must talk. Release the jumbled thoughts that are making you like this. Speak, Julian. Speak.
How can I speak when a million jangling wires are screaming in my head? They won!
No, Julian. Julian! Look up. Look at me. I'm your friend, your doctor. Julian, don't you recognize me? Julian! That's better. Now, Julian, you must tell us everything right from the very first day you returned to this house a month ago. I was there, remember?
A month ago. Is that all it is since I brought my bride to Ash Grove?
Well, darling, now that you've seen all there is to see of Ash Grove, what do you think? Not exactly a country mansion, I'll admit, but it's all ours.
Oh, it's heavenly. Just as I pictured it. Oh, Julian, am I really Mrs. Julian Clinton? Or am I going to wake up and find that it's all a dream and I'm still Miss Elizabeth Robbins?
Now that you've been my bride for 3 whole weeks, you're still not sorry you gave up the stage.
Oh, darling, Julian, I didn't give up the stage. The stage gave me up. 1 month's work with some dreary rep, then 3 months traipsing from agent to agent. If I hadn't met you, I think I should have gone off my head. Oh, sorry.
Sorry? Why do you say sorry like that?
Nothing, darling. Well, you told me of your nervous breakdown, and it wasn't very tactful of me to remind you of it.
Please, Liz, I told you before, you don't have to treat me with kid gloves. I'm all right now. I'm all right, thanks to you. Bless you. I'm going upstairs, get some of the dust off me. I won't be long.
Ah, you must be Mrs. Clinton. I'm Marcus Summers.
Oh, Dr. Summers, I've heard so much about you. Do come in.
Thank you.
Of course, you know the way.
Yes, I do know the way. I've been here enough times. How is Julian?
Oh, fine. Now and again he gets these terrible nightmares, but not often. He had a bad time, didn't he? His breakdown, I mean.
Yes, a terrible business. He told you about it then?
Yes, about seeing a motor accident and finding out that the two people burnt to death were his own parents. Oh, how awful it must have been for him.
There was nothing he or anyone could do. The car skidded into a tree and caught fire. When Julian drove up on his motorbike, the car was a blazing inferno. No one could get near. And, of course, it was some time later that he learned that the occupants were his own parents.
It makes me go cold thinking about it.
Yes, very sad. Julian was home a week when it happened. He'd been overseas for 2 years. I'm afraid he collapsed under the strain and had to go into a sanatorium. As soon as he was discharged, I advised a change of scene.
I'm glad you did, Doctor. Otherwise, he'd never have met me. Well, Julian won't be long. Can I get you a drink?
No! No! Please! Please!
Oh, heavens!
Julian! Julian, what is it?
It's there, through the window. Down there. Look!
Oh, Where, darling?
In the lane beyond that oak tree. It's burning. Burning, I tell you.
Somebody's been burning some leaves. Boy Scouts camping, I suppose.
In the center. There was a car. A small car. Like a toy model.
Oh, darling, I can't see
anything. The best thing is for us to have a closer inspection. Let's take a look at that fire.
There, darling. Just a few twigs and some leaves.
Julian.
No car.
Julian, how did you come to notice it in the first place? Did you look out of the window and then...
The bedroom was freezing. I went to shut the window. I heard someone calling my name.
Darling, it's just that the long drive has exhausted you.
Don't pander to me like that. I swear it, Liz. I'm not mad, I tell you.
Easily the insane can deceive themselves. I drink a sedative and I put the incident out of my mind. My poor, deranged mind.
Oh, what a splendid fire. But is it cold enough?
Well, the nights are getting chillier. Besides, we're going to have dinner by candlelight. The fire will add to the atmosphere.
Oh, what a meal. What a girl. What a wife.
Enjoy it?
Oh, it was marvelous. Oh, enjoy your coffee, darling. You don't have to clear away yet.
I'm not. I'm just coming over to kiss the sweetest husband in the whole wide world. Oh, look at those French windows. Don't they reflect the room charmingly?
Never mind the room. Look at us. A handsome couple, wouldn't you say?
Silly.
Oh, what is it?
There's someone there at the window.
What the... Oh, it's all right. It's Dr. Summers. Just a minute.
It's all right to come in.
Yes, of course.
I saw you through the window. It will save me walking round to the front door. Good evening, Mrs. Windham.
Good evening, Dr. Summers.
Oh, I had a long and exhausting round. Any coffee left?
I'll make some fresh.
No, no, please don't bother. Just so long as it's reasonably warm.
We just had ours.
Mrs. Clinton, there's a look about you which says you were not expecting me, am I right?
Oh, you're very welcome, of course.
Really, Julian, didn't you tell your wife you invited me in for some coffee and a game of chess after dinner?
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot all about it. Do you mind, Liz?
Oh, no, no, of course not. It was seeing you at the window. It quite startled me. Your coffee, Doctor.
Oh, thank you. Tastes good. I'm sorry if I startled you, Mrs. Clinton. I mean, after all, the path to the front door...
I'll think nothing of it. What about the game of chess, huh?
While Liz knitted serenely by the fire, was that memory of a happy, peaceful, domestic evening a fragment of my diseased mind, too? And then the following evening, I was having my customary cigarette with my coffee after dinner.
Darling, why don't you leave the washing up for the morning charwoman?
Nearly finished.
Oh. What? No. No.
Liz! Liz! Oh, Liz!
What is it? Oh, what is a sheep? What's the matter?
Have a look at the window. The reflection.
Oh, what's come over you? Why?
Look, look. I'm smoking a cigarette. My reflection is smoking a pipe!
Move in world class. Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5s today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders. And the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Move in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3-5s today.
Liz. Look at the window. Look at me. At my reflection.
Julian, I'm going to send for Dr. Summers.
Don't stare at me like that. Look at the window. I tell you...
Darling, darling, you're not well. Something must have upset you.
What have I got in my hand? A cigarette or a pipe?
Oh, darling, a cigarette, of course.
And in the window. What do you see in the window?
Your reflection, mine, the dinner table.
What am I holding in my hand?
A cigarette, of course.
Do you mean to tell me that you can see my reflection? And I'm holding a cigarette?
Yes, John.
But it's not true. It's holding a pipe. I'm holding a cigarette.
Julian, listen to me. You must pull yourself together. Your mind is playing your tricks. No, darling, don't keep staring at the window. Stand up. Get out of that chair.
Yes, yes.
That's better. Now, turn your back to the window. Look at me. Julian, look at me. Yes, darling. I'm here. Elizabeth, your wife. The woman who loves you more than life itself. Look into my eyes. What do you see? Do you see all the protective love I have for you?
Yes, Liz, I do.
Now, darling, I want you to turn around and face the window. Look at yourself in the window. Go on, darling. Look.
I'm finding it difficult.
Yes, I know. But we're going to defeat this thing together. Turn around and look. Well?
I...
What do you see?
I'm holding a cigarette.
Oh, thank heaven. You're all right now. Oh, my poor darling.
The protection and love of Elizabeth gave me some hope. I needed to believe that my sickness would heal, that there was some hope. That's why I came to see you, Doctor. Was it only a few hours ago that I came to you for help?
I know that I'm suffering from hallucinations, Doctor, that I'm much worse than when you sent me to that sanatorium, but I need your help. You've got to save me from myself. It isn't as though my mind's unhinged all the time. I'm speaking and acting sanely enough now. Or am I beyond all aid?
Julian, you must stop thinking in terms of sanity and insanity. When I advised you to go to the sanatorium, that was because of the terrible shock to your nervous system when you saw your parents in that blazing car without being able to do anything.
Sent me stark raving mad.
No, it sent you into a state of mental disturbance. Besides, I wanted you out of Ashgrove, away from the things which reminded you of your parents. That's why I suggested their trip overseas, new surroundings, new faces.
Thank heaven you did. I'd never have met Liz.
You were away 8 months in all.
Yes.
Now, you'll remember that before you went into the sanatorium, you'd wake up in the middle of the night with visions of your dead parents standing by your bed.
Oh, don't, please.
Sorry, Julian, if I'm to help you, we've got to face your problem squarely. Many bereaved people suffer similar experiences for a while. In Australia, did you have any hallucinations there?
Once or twice. The first week in Melbourne, I'd have those terrible nightmares again.
But no hallucinations? Images while awake?
No.
On arrival at Sydney, you wrote mentioning nightmares on the voyage.
I had some terrible dreams, but no images, as you call them. As soon as I met Elizabeth, even the bad dreams stopped. And now, I'm frightened, Doctor. You've got to help me. I'm so terribly frightened for Liz's sake. That burning car I saw from the bedroom window, and then my reflection in the window as I lit a cigarette and saw my reflection smoking a pipe. I... Oh, can you beat it?
Stop it. Sorry. I had to slap you. Are you all right?
Yes, all right.
Tell me, has there been any other disturbing incident? Something I don't know about? This pipe business happened a week ago. Nothing since?
Yes. The worst thing of all. That's why I'm here. My dear, darling Liz, whom I love more than life itself. Last night, after a terrible day of depression, Liz persuaded me to take a sleeping pill. I went off right away.
What? No. Julian? No. Liz? Liz? And you, your wife? You're killing me.
Yes.
It's all right, darling. You didn't know what you were doing.
Your neck. Why are you rubbing your neck? Oh, my darling, what have I done to you?
Nothing, darling. Julian, you mustn't think any more about it. It was just one good night.
I wasn't. I didn't. That I should try to strangle you. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Not a nice thought, that.
You tried to strangle your wife?
Yes. That's why I rang you for this appointment. Told Liz I'm seeing Jarvis about some repairs, which is true, but later. She's worried enough as it is. I didn't want her to know I was going to consult you.
But why?
In case you decide to commit me. I'd want to break the news to her gradually.
Commit you?
Isn't that what you do to psychopathic stranglers?
I don't think you come under that category. Now look, I'm going to send you to Tranitz. He's a psychiatrist, the best there is.
Tranitz, psychiatrist. Would he have been able to help me? But my mind couldn't last that long, could it? Only a few more hours and the last few strains of sanity snapped.
I haven't eaten a thing.
I'm not hungry.
Darling, where did you go when you left here this morning?
I told you, Jarvis.
I phoned an hour after you left. He said you hadn't been there.
I got there later. All right, I'll tell you. You're too wonderful to lie to. I saw Dr. Summers. Told him what I tried to do to you last night.
Oh, darling.
Perhaps I should be put away for your sake. Look. Look, me! In the window, it's making faces at me!
Put that chair down! Julian, what have you done? What are you doing?
Where am I now? In a nut house. Dr. Summers. Liz. Elizabeth. How is she? Where is she?
She is here. In Ash Grove, and so are you. Julian, you've been subjected to many frightful experiences. Now, I'm afraid, I'm going to give you the worst shock of all. All right, Inspector. Bring him in.
All right, sir.
Julian, everything you experienced since returning from Australia was part of a fiendish plan to drive you out of your mind, and if possible, suicide. Here's your reflection, Julian.
What? What?
Yes, meet a remote cousin of yours, Paul Fuller. Startling resemblance, eh?
Particularly when he wears identical clothing.
Let's get this charade over with, shall we?
Keep your mouth shut. All right, bring Mrs. Clinton in.
Roger.
You see, Julian, I was not quite happy with your setup from the very beginning.
My setup?
An open bedroom window in winter, a fire in the lane.
The car?
A toy car. Fuller here made sure you'd look out of the window by calling to you. Then he removed the car.
Now, the pipe and cigarette business was too much. My good friend, the inspector here, got in touch with the Sydney police.
In there.
Paul, what are they going to do to you?
Same as I do to you, sugar. After all, it was your idea.
We understand, Mr. Clinton, that you met this woman in Sydney. She's as good a confidence trickster as her boyfriend over there.
But why? Why?
As soon as she saw the likeness and discovered you'd inherited your father's estate, she persuaded her boyfriend, Paul, to agree to her marrying you. Once you were in a nut house that had been driven to suicide or were murdered...
Murdered? You don't know what you're saying. You're talking about Elizabeth. What is all this? This is the worst nightmare of all.
It's no nightmare, Julian. You left a will, leaving everything to your wife. All the money and land you inherited from your father, didn't you?
Don't listen to them, Julian. They're talking nonsense. I love you.
Didn't you and this man, Paul Fuller, serve 12 months for defrauding a so-called fiancé of yours?
It isn't true.
£10,000 you got and 12 months in jail.
You've got nothing on me. All right, so Liz was my girlfriend. So, she suggested I come down here for a holiday.
Your girlfriend?
Where did you get your clothes made? Did you go to Julian's tailor?
This pipe we took out of your pocket, Fuller.
Look at that pipe, Julian. Is that the pipe you saw reflected in the window?
Yes. No, I just don't know. Elizabeth,
All the time we've been together, all the wonderful things you said to me, even when I held you in my arms, were you planning to destroy me then?
You mustn't believe them. I had nothing to do with it. I don't know what game Paul was playing.
Well, I like that. Who paid for my air passage over here? Who took his poor boob suits to be cottly? Let me tell you something, Mr. Clinton.
Don't listen to him.
Why shouldn't he? He's a relative of mine. My mother's maiden name was Clinton. You know that? And would I want to murder a relative of mine?
Relative?
Take a look at my face, cousin. They say my great-grandfather was sent to Australia on a prison ship. Blood's thicker than water. I'd have had no hand in murder.
When we were outside this house, we saw you standing outside those French windows as though you were acting or miming some sort of charade. You were trying to frighten Mr. Clinton out of his wits.
All right. I'll admit that. But I'm no murderer.
Nevertheless, we heard the crash of glass. We came running up, and you and Mrs. Clinton were standing over the unconscious body. Julian had fainted. You, Mrs. Clinton, had Julian's gun in your hand. You were ready to shoot, ready to fake a suicide. Thank goodness we arrived in time.
It isn't true. It's all lies.
All right, men. Take them away.
Just a minute. Just one other thing. You've been here all the time, ever since we arrived.
That's right, cousin.
But where? How? Where were you living?
In your mind, pal. That's where I've been living. In your mind.
In world class. Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3.5s today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders, and the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3.5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Move in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3.5s today.
The manufacturers of State Express 3.5s Filter King cigarettes invite you to listen next Saturday at 9 o'clock, when they will again present The Creaking.